Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw from Little Rock, Arkansas at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486 if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, you can always hit us up in the chat room and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, it was a mixed bag last night, to be very honest, on Monday Night Raw. I mean, there were moments that I thought were very good, and there were moments that I thought made me interested in seeing what was going to happen. And then there were moments like the very beginning of Monday Night Raw where I just scratched my head and said, who came up with this concept? We have all of the Raw participants for the Money in the Bank event on ladders in varying degrees of height. You know, like it's a photo shoot or something. It was just terrible. Just terrible. Guys who are supposed to hate each other. Girls who are supposed to despise each other. And there they all are out there on the ladder, hamming it up. Even Braun Strowman, here I am, sitting on a ladder. It's like they formed a band or something. It was just terrible. So we get that visual, which is a horrible visual. Then Kurt Angle is announced, and he basically comes out and says, these are all the participants for our Raw contingent for Money in the Bank. And SmackDown will have their eight, consisting of the four men and the four women. And he's trying to give him a pep talk, telling him how vital it is, that they win. And out comes a buzz cut Baron Corbin, who has shaved off all of his hair. Now, I don't know whether this is, this has got to be some kind of new look for him based on a new gimmick, because he certainly doesn't look like any kind of a tough guy, lone wolf biker now. I guess he's like corporate Constable Corbin. Try saying that three times fast. Corporate Constable Corbin. And he says, well, Stephanie's going to be very upset if everybody doesn't bring home the Money in the Bank briefcase. So you don't want to disappoint Stephanie McMahon, do you? This is not going to work out too good. It's a way of keeping this ridiculous authority thing alive, which should have ended. It just keeps coming back and coming back and coming back in some kind of a new form, and it's really, really getting old. But that wasn't the worst part of it all. The worst part of it all is that these competitors begin to bicker like children. Number one, they did look like children on monkey bars at school. That's what they look like. So there they all are on the monkey bar saying, I'm going to win. No, I'm going to win. No, I'm going to win. You're not going to win. I'm going to win. No way are you going to win. I'm going to win. No, me. It was really, really, really bad. It was so bad that I actually got aggravated and I said, yeah, I may shut this off and I'll just wait till this segment is over because this is really giving me issues. You can't ruin a character any more than to have Braun Strowman, monster among men, standing on a ladder going, I'm going to win. No, I'm going to win. No, I'm going to win. And then if that wasn't bad enough, then Alexa Bliss says, well, I know what men are going to win. My mixed match tag team partner, Braun Strowman, who grins like a, cat that ate the canary. And then they, no, my mixed match partner. It got ridiculous. It threw me back to Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar tugging at the belt. My belt, no, my belt, my belt, my belt. Remember that? Really bad. One of the very worst visuals I've seen in a long time opening up Monday Night Raw, Mike.
Yeah, and look, they better not do that tonight. They better not do it tonight, you know. And look, that whole segment tells me that none of these guys off of this show is going to win. None of them. So both cases are going to go to SmackDown.
I don't know if both cases will, but I think I think the men's will for sure. I just don't see this. So anyway, Kurt Angle announces we're going to have two fatal four ways, the women who are all involved in the Money in the Bank event, and the men. But the women's one is going to start right now. So we come back from a commercial break, and Alexa Bliss gets an entrance anyway. So presumably while they cleaned the ladders up out of the ring, she just walked backstage and got an entrance. That didn't bother me too much because it just made her look like, you know, egotistical or whatever. But, man, Sabretooth, that opening segment bothered me.
Yep, I mean, that segment stunk to high heaven. And you know what that whole ladder thing reminded me of? You remember the old game show Family Feud where they have the families pose like before they show them?
Yeah.
It reminded me of that. That's what it reminded me of. I'm like, what is this, Family Feud? I mean, and like you said, man, and that Baron Corbin, he's done, man. I mean, and they didn't have to know. Okay, they went with the whole corporate Corbin thing, but still playing this tough guy Lone Wolf music when he came out with all the flames and all that. I'm like,
right. I'm waiting for him to come out in a sweater vest. You know, he needs a sweater vest. It's just, yeah, I don't know. I don't know where they're going, and he's not wrestling, so obviously they're just gonna like set him on the shelf for rare occasions when he represents Stephanie. I don't know how that's going to work. Todd, seeing them all on the ladder like that, you know, like they were posing for a band picture or something, was really, really not good.
It looked corny. We're all of them on the ladder in the ring. I was like, I had to change the channel for a few minutes. Just put something else on that just to kill time for like about 5 or 10 minutes.
It was really, really corny, and I thought it just made them all look stupid. Now the match itself. Four-way women's match, which was, of course, Sasha Banks, Alexa Bliss, Natalya, and Ember Moon. It got off to a kind of a slow plotting start, but it picked up. And it was actually pretty good. I didn't have a problem with the match itself. They're selling that Natalya still has that leg injury. This is probably the best I've seen Ember Moon look since she came up. The one flying dive she gave to Sasha Banks looked like it hurt. That wasn't your typical, you know, flying, I'll miss you, just barely graze my fingertips on you type dive. She kind of planted her. So I thought she looked pretty good. I thought this is probably the best Ember Moon has looked. They were trying very hard to really promote these women as, you know, one of these women could very well win. And the very fact that Corey Graves said, well, I'm picking Charlotte from the other show, to me means somebody on Raw's winning. Nah, he wouldn't give it away on, you know, he wouldn't give away the winner on Raw when it's a SmackDown girl. So I still think Natty's the favorite here. I still think that's where this thing is heading. Overall, though, Mike, it was a good match. Fans got into it, especially late. And, you know, for what it was a good opener.
Yeah, I like the fact that they gave Alexa her thing, and I like the fact that she kind of was lived up to her deal as a kind of a sneaky guy. She shouldn't win, but she won, you know.
Yeah, well, no, actually, Natty won, right? Yeah, Natty won. Natty tapped out Alexa Bliss in the sharpshooter. But Todd, what do you think of the match overall? I mean, I thought it was pretty good for an opener.
Yeah, it was a pretty good opening match for the Divas Fatal 4-Way match. It's, you know, like you said, it's had a lot of false finishes in that match. One of my favorite parts when they tried to do a double suplex and a powerbomb all in one in the corner with the women.
Yeah, and Alexa Bliss held on. That was actually a pretty good spot. Mine, obviously, was Ember Moon doing the the suicide dive outside and really planting Sasha Banks' saber tooth. That looked like it hurt.
Oh yeah, it looked like it too. I mean, it looked like she just threw herself out there. Like you said, usually like they like put their hands out in front. She didn't even do that. She just like threw herself between them ropes and went just the hell with it, you know. But the good thing is though that like is that all the girls got a high spot. I mean, like Amber Moon dealt with her high spot, then like Alyssa turns around and decks her with a hell of a haymaker and flips her over. And before she got, you know, she got the move off the top rope onto the floor down on Natty. But the thing was, though, is that I knew that Alexa Bliss was going to be the one to get pinned. I knew that. I
yeah.
just knew it.
I kind of had that feeling, too. I don't know what happened because, man, she was riding high on all cylinders, and now she's kind of low girl on the totem pole. But we're living in an age where all of these girls know it's Ronda Rousey's division for the next year. That's going to be a problem. The morale isn't going to be that great because these girls are fully realizing it's Ronda Rousey's federation, at least until WrestleMania, and probably after that. Anyway, not a bad match. We go backstage, and actually, I'm fascinated by this segment because finally, even though I don't like it when the bad guys make perfect sense, it's nice to have a little logic anyway. And Kevin Owens approaches Finn Balor and basically says, look, you know that we're going to have major trouble with Braun Strowman at Money in the Bank. And why do we all have to go out there tonight and kill ourselves? Why can't we all just team up and essentially what he's saying is hurt Braun Strowman. Try to do him enough damage so he's not a factor at Money in the Bank. And Finn Balor doesn't totally reject it. He says, you know. And then I thought it was a very good line. He used it twice where he said, look, you can't beat him. You can't beat him by yourself. And I could probably beat him by myself, but it'll be very physically taxing. Later on, he says, okay, fine. None of us can beat him by ourselves. So it had a little bit of logic to it. And I liked the fact that it brought Finn Balor and Bobby Roode into an area where even though they're the quote-unquote good guys, they see the logic behind taking out the biggest threat prior to the event, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, if Roode had been I would have bought it as well if Roode had been a heel and he would have came to him. Because he's done the exact same thing when he was in Impact with what's his face, the Abyss, you know, so
right,
you know, that type of thing. So I would have bought it with Roode as well. But yeah, that was you hardly ever want to see a guy be that logical as a heel. But that's logical that I can get behind and I can buy. You know.
Yeah, I can buy that too because at the end of the day, they're all trying to win that Money in the Bank, and they all feel like, well, we're equal. But Strowman isn't. So if we eliminate the biggest threat, then every man for himself, at least it'll be fair. So that kind of worked for me, Sabretooth.
It did, too. And also, I like the fact that Kevin Owens brought the fact that they were both champions and they didn't get a rematch to get their title back. I mean,
right.
Like you said, he was a heel making pretty good points. You couldn't argue with what he was saying. The only thing is that I wish Bobby Roode would have had like a bit more of an ego and been like, you know, I'm glorious, I can do this on my, you know, had that swagger, but still would have seen the sense of what it was saying, you know. But after last week with the whole if I survive Braun Strowman, I guess he couldn't go that route though. But yeah, but I agree with
that's
you.
That's the thing. Yeah, it was very hard for him to go that route after they kind of demasculated him last week. But it was a good segment, Todd. And what I also liked was that. Kevin Owens brought up the past. A lot of times they don't bring up the past because they don't think the fans remember. So I'm glad he brought up that we were both champions and didn't get our fair rematch and stuff like that.
You're absolutely right there. It was a good segment, good skit right there. Like you said, they never really brought up the past as they were champions. Like you said, it's a good spot right there.
It's a good overall logical spot. So I'm buying that. So I'm saying, oh, this could turn out to be interesting. We don't know what's going to happen. We then get Drew McIntyre, Dolph Ziggler, and Breezango. This is just an attempt to rehab Drew McIntyre, and Dolph Ziggler, because I think they realized last week they made a mistake having Dolph Ziggler eliminated first in that Battle Royal. They even brought it up and said, for people who said that was bad, look at these guys after they beat them. It's a nothing match, but it still ended up feeling to me, Mike, like they lost a step. I don't think they recovered from that we lost the Battle Royal thing.
Yeah, I don't think they recovered, but the one positive is coming out of that match is they're protecting what I term as the Clayzag. You know, that finishing maneuver that they do, they're absolutely protecting that thing. Nobody has kicked out of that thing yet.
Yeah, no, they will protect it, and they'll protect it for a while. I guess my point is, though, Sabretooth, when the horse is already out of the barn, you know, why did they even have to be in that match? Wouldn't it have been better if they said, we weren't put in that match, and we know why, and now we're going to beat all the guys individually that were in that match, or as a tag team that were in that match, would make more sense than how they did it this way.
And I agree with that so much. Like I said, I mean, like, now, yeah, like, the only way they should have been in that Battle Royal is if they was going to win it. Or, like you said, have them not be officially a part of the match, just have them, like, come down and beat up everybody. That would have been better. But they should not be in that in the first place if they weren't going to win it. Like you said, the horse is already out of the gate. And even them coming down talking about last week is all it already happened. No, that still doesn't take the sting away of what happened.
See, I agree with that. I don't think it totally washed away or erased the memory of, oh, well, they failed already. You know, you usually don't want a new guy or a new team to fail right away at anything they do if you're going to push them. And the first time they do, it sets you back. And I just don't know why they needed to be added to that match. Let's talk a little bit, though, about the Sami Zayn spot, because this is up to now, I'm living okay with Raw. I hated the opening. I liked the match, though. I was okay with everything. I liked the Kevin Owens thing. You know, God bless Sami Zayn. He is very, very, very good on the mic. I would go so far as to say Sami Zayn is excellent on the mic. And he can take shit, for lack of a better word, and at least make it into something that looks like applesauce. But you can't save this because there is no logic. There's no rhyme nor reason. You went to the expense. Let me get this straight. You went to the expense of a portable obstacle course because, according to Sami Zayn's lines, which I'm sure he had written for him, the only way Bobby Lashley can prove to me that he was in the service is to run this obstacle course and prove he is in the condition that servicemen who run this obstacle course are in. That's the only way. So if he brings you his medals, if he brings you his uniform, if he brings you pictures of himself on base, that won't work. You got to run an obstacle course, because no one in the world could run this obstacle course except someone who's been in the military, except Sami Zayn then says, I ran this in practice in a minute and 30 seconds. And I'm not in the military, which means that it doesn't prove anything. So it makes Bobby Lashley look like the stupidest guy on the planet to come out there and say, okay, I'll prove it to you. Why does he have to prove it to him? B, you already know he's going to be sneak attacked. Everybody in the world knows he's going to be sneak attacked. So Bobby Lashley comes out like the dumbest guy on the planet saying, I've been challenged to a real fair contest. What? So lo and behold, this whole thing was to show off, oh, look what an elite athlete Bobby Lashley is. He tore through that obstacle course in impressive fashion, which he did. But when you got to get such cheap heat as to basically have Sami Zayn say, you know, the United States military is second to Canada's in a place like Little Rock, Arkansas, you know you failed. You know you failed. It just doesn't even feel like these two guys much care about this feud. Sami Zayn is trying to do the best he can because he's just trying to hold on to his position. But once again, Bobby Lashley just comes out with a big grin on his face. Everything's funny to Bobby Lashley. Nothing. He's like, he never gets angry and says, wait a minute. what the hell kind of a stupid, what would you do? You wouldn't come out there and say, what the hell kind of a stupid thing is this? If you think I'm going to go through all of this dog and pony show to prove to you I'm in the military, Sammy, you've got another thing coming. I could see it if he challenged him to an arm wrestling contest or a bench pressing contest, but an obstacle course? I just thought it was embarrassing, Sabretooth. I really thought it was embarrassing.
Yeah, after last night, man, I mean, it just got me thinking, like, because this whole feud, I was thinking about last night. At first, I was a tiniest bit okay with it, but after last night, man, I'm thinking, like, how is this feud going to help him after? I mean, we all know, how is this feud going to help him afterwards? He beat up Sami Zayn. Not saying that Sami Zayn is a slouch, but at the same time, it's not like Sami Zayn is being betrayed as like an underdog fighting a big badass. It's the exact, you know what I'm saying? So how is this going to help him after he beats Sami Zayn? And also, and they're going to have to totally reboot this character, like give him like a month off and have him like come back revamped, because I don't see him taking on anybody else who's a legitimate threat, him coming out the way he is, smiling, waving to the crowd. I mean, imagine him like facing Brock Lesnar doing that same stick. Well, I'm fighting Brock Lesnar, and no, that's not going to work.
I'm going
to have to revamp this character when this is all done. Well, eventually they will.
I don't know what the hell they're going to do with it. All I know, Todd, is that it was a pretty lame segment. It was kind of embarrassing.
You're absolutely right there. They should have done something else, like an arm wrestling contest or what? An obstacle course? Looks like you're on Double Dare or American Gladiators.
I was waiting for him to get slimed, Mike. It was just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And poor Sami Zayn, he's doing his best to pull this thing out of the dumpster, you know. And
he really is.
You know, and that's the thing, you know. He can only work with what he's given. And if he's given crap, I mean, he's trying to make chicken salad. And he's having a hard time doing it, you know.
Yeah, it is. I do feel sorry for him, too, because he's trying hard. Like, there are times when I'm like, he's almost pulling this thing out of the crapper. But then you're like, nah, it just stinks too bad. You can't do it. There's certain things you can't pull out of the crapper. Now, did he make it better than it could have been? Yeah, he did, actually. But it's still terrible. So what's the difference whether it's terrible or abysmal? You know, I mean, because that's kind of your choices. And this feud is just, like Sabretooth said, what's the difference? You know what's going to happen, and then where do we go from here? More obstacle courses? More what next? You know, jump rope contest? Anyway, Roman Reigns is supposed to face Jinder Mahal. Jinder Mahal comes out and kind of says, no, I didn't say I was facing you. Or I said you were facing someone, not me. And he kind of teases it's going to be the Great Khali, but it turns out to be Sameel Singh, who just gets beat up, totally beat up. And then Jinder Mahal, who I guess forgot how to put the Coloss on for a few seconds, stumbles around and finally gets the hold on Roman Reigns and then gives him the Coloss. This feud ain't going anywhere either. Fans aren't into it. Jinder Mahal went back to having a lousy promo, in my opinion. Roman Reigns looks disinterested. I have a problem, and here's what the problem is. It is Roman Reigns' fault, but it's not. I think Roman Reigns is highly, highly unhappy. I think that he realizes that his spot, because of fans, is probably gone. And he is now in the undercard of a pay-per-view, and I truly think he's not into it. I truly think he's like, well, I was on the top and now I'm not. And F this. And he's coming across like that, unfortunately. And Jinder Mahal's hot and cold. Some nights he's real good, and then some nights he's especially on the mic. And this feud's not doing anything for me, Sabretooth. I don't really see the point to it.
And you read about Roman Reigns. I mean, you can like look at guys, you know, you can like look at them and tell like the difference between now and a while ago when he, you know, it's like don't want to say he's thrown it in, but you can see like he just lost that. I mean, he's lost something. You know what I'm saying? And it shows, like you said, it's like he's not really interested in this feud, and you can tell. And as far as gender goes, yeah, he runs hot and cold. I mean, like, some nights he comes out and does a great heel promo. I mean, you can boo him to the roof. I mean, but last night it was sort of eh.
Yeah, I mean, it was nothing special. Roman seems disinterested. The fans seem disinterested. I don't know what to tell you, Mike.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you either. And look, they didn't even have Shamil introduce, gender. We knew that Shamil was gonna be in the match, but generally speaking, they usually have Shamil say, "Ladies and gentlemen," whatever, you know.
Right.
Jinder Mahal, they didn't do that. Why didn't they do that? That kind of ruined the whole thing, that whole segment, because I was expecting that.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know why they didn't do it. Very interesting. Let's get to the Elias segment, because newsflash for the WWE. If you are going to use our suggestions, at least do it the right way. Now we see why writers get frustrated, because, you know, you give an idea and they say it's a great idea, but then by the time it gets passed down to 9 people, it's not the same idea, and then they're like, oh, your idea sucked. I believe it was us who said, why don't you give Elias a guitar signed by a famous person or given to him by a famous person, and we had suggested Kid Rock, and have him carry it with him a few weeks and be really proud of it, and then have a heel smash it. Well, they decided they're going to go a different route. They're not going to wait 2 or 3 weeks, they're going to do it in one shot. And apparently, they went out to Walmart, and they found the cheapest guitar they could possibly find, and had, you know, some finger painters paint it. I played the guitar for a living, and that was a bad guitar. You got to come up with something better than that. I know you're going to smash it anyway, but could you spend just a little bit? Because anybody could look at that guitar and say, that's junk. And that's a toy. And I'm sure John Mayer didn't hand it to him. But anyway, there was no opportunity for Elias to really say how much he cared about that guitar or show how much he cared about that guitar. So when Seth Rollins comes down after a hilarious song, that was Elias's best song. That was Elias's best song, hands down. It was annoying, but it was annoying in a funny way. It was just good. It's overall good. He couldn't really show being too upset about it being smashed, because A's the bad guy, so all he can do is look frustrated. Seth Rollins smashing it, I understand he's mad because he got one smashed over his back and everything, but it made him look kind of heelish too. I think if you really wanted to show Elias as a heel, Elias should have smashed that guitar over him like, I don't even care John Mayer gave me the guitar. It's more important I smash this over Seth Rollins' head. Because then you say, oh, he don't even have a caring bone in his body for a celebrity giving him something. It's, who cares? You know? The way it panned out this way, you know, some people ended up feeling sorry for Elias. Why break the guitar? And that was our plan, is to have people feel sorry for Elias, but have a heel break the guitar. So I'm sure you remember, Sabretooth, when we suggested this, and I'm sure you were watching last night saying, hey, I knew where they were going with it.
Once again, Marcus, yeah, you strike again. They stole another one of your ideas. Hey, man, you should ask like for a legal, like a copyright or something, man. They keep taking all your good ideas and using them. I mean, I was thinking the exact same thing. I said, man, it's on her, Marcus, again. And you're right, man. The right thing to do would have been like, okay. And you're right. It did make Seth look like a heel, because I like John Mayer, my damn self. And I feel kind of like, oh,
right.
Damn, you know, because I like John Mayer. You know, I'm a fan of heels. And what you should have done was like, done what you said you can do at first. Like, pick somebody out in the crowd, someone who's like planted there or whatever, and give the guitar to him. You know, John Mayer guitar? Here it is. He's just done that. You know, gave it to a fan. Which would like pick the line out, but you know, give this guitar that's probably like worth thousands over to some old kid or something like that. That would have been better. It would make Seth, you know, gave him like some faith, you know, and the way it would have pissed the line off. Yeah, but to smash it like that, yeah, it was kind of heelish.
That would have been great. Give it away. Give it away. Absolutely. It was a cheap guitar anyway. Give it away. But what you also could have done, if you really wanted Elias to look like a bastard, is to have Seth Rollins say, you know what, I'm not going to smash it. If you're man enough to come in here and take it. And then have Elias get in the ring cautiously, Seth Rollins hand him the guitar, and say, take the guitar. I'm not going to smash your guitar. I'm not a child. And as soon as he turns around, bam, Elias smashes the guitar over him again. Because then it makes it look, again, like I said, like Elias don't care if a famous person gave it to him. He couldn't care less. And the whole thing was just a setup. Would have made him look very evil. The way it came off, Mike, even though we kind of discussed something similar, is it made Elias look a little sympathetic.
Right. And then it would have been the use John Mayer and people like him, and generally you don't think of John Mayer as smashing a guitar,
Right.
If you really want to make something of it, you might say somebody like, I don't know, Kiss or somebody like that. Somebody that you know they have a history of doing that type of stuff, on stage in their act.
Anything. I mean, Kid Rock, you could have used anybody. You could have used The Who, anybody. The funny thing, was I dreaming or was I in La La Land, Sabretooth, or did I hear Coachman say that John Mayer was hip hop?
Right. Great curriculum. He's not hip hop. And he said, like, and Coach said, yeah, John Mayer, Jay Z, they're all the same. I'm like, what?
I don't know where the hell that came from. Todd, it was a good segment, but I think they did it wrong. I really do. I think it should have been Elias smashing the guitar, or like Sabretooth said, Seth Rollins giving it away.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, I noticed that when Coach said, is John Mayer a hip-hop artist? Like, no, he's like just like a pop
the hell they come artist. Up, I don't know what the hell. The coach must have been drunk or so. I don't know. I guess he has no musical whatever. Anyway, if you gave it to a kid, especially if you gave it to like an underprivileged, a kid in a wheelchair or something, and then have Seth Rollins say, you really going to take it back from that kid? And have Elias say, yes, I am, and start to come down to try to do it. And then him and Seth Rollins get into it. Would have been funny. It would have been a good spot. You miss opportunities a lot when you do things like this. And I just think stomping the guitar made Seth Rollins kind of look childish and like a hothead. And I just think they could have done it better. Again, we kind of came up with a similar idea, but with a different slant to it. So the B team defeat Slater and Rhino, which is fine. I'm glad to see like competitive sort of mid card teams. They kind of disposed of them pretty easy, which I was a little surprised about, but they wanted to keep some time for Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt to come out and say what they had to say. It was okay. It's just that I don't think there's a lot of anticipation. The B team was hot for a while, and then now the crowd's kind of like, I think maybe they pushed it too far too quick. Maybe that's the only thing I can think of, Sabretooth. I don't think the fans are really into this matchup.
And you got exactly right. It came too fast. I mean, like, these guys were, no one saw to them, but these guys were, like, bottom of the barrel. And now, like, after, like, what? How, what? They, what? After, what? 2 weeks or whatever, the fight for the championship? Nuh-uh. This should have been, like, a real slow burn to build these guys up. I mean, and at least, like, to make them, to take, give us as fans, like, a chance, like, to take these guys serious. I mean, like, right now, they're still, like, a comedy team going up against, the what do they call themselves?
The leaders
I mean,
of worlds.
On paper, they should lose this match. If they beat Wyatt and Hardy, man, they're done. I mean, because they're still a comedy team. Like I said, this is like a build these guys up more. As when we take them seriously.
I agree, and Matt Hardy threatened to eat one of them, which I don't know what the hell that was all about, Mike, but that's what he said.
Well, one, that kind of, remember, he bites people, and that's one of his big deals is he bites people. You know, he doesn't do many moves, kicks and stomps and punches and bites people, but that's Matt Hardy. But, yeah, you're right. And, look, it was nice to see three-fourths of the social outcast in the ring, you know.
Yeah. That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and we know we do know that Rhino is not long for this thing. So the right team won, and you know they can still make some money off of Slater, but we know that at some point Rhino is not going to be here anymore.
Yeah, they may have to take Slater and go solo with him, Todd, when Rhino packs it in. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm just not that interested in this match.
I'm not either. Like you said, it's going to make the Dillier Worlds look bad, and it's going to make the B-team look bad in this match this coming Sunday. It's not going to look good.
Yeah, I'm afraid whoever wins or whoever loses it, it's not going to work out too well. Ruby Riott and the Riott Squad now have a new gimmick, which is, I guess, they're the NWO, cutting people's ties off backstage and spray painting people with marking people with their mark, the R. Bayley is the latest victim. She comes out, gets mauled. No Sasha Banks to help her. I guess that's part of the gimmick. Because they mentioned it, and she gets an R written. First, they tried to write, I guess, on her head, and they realized that ain't working, so they wrote it on her belly. It was a good match. Ruby Riott is a good wrestler, and she's going to go places. But, man, they're undermining Bayley to the point now, Sabretooth, where they have to watch their step, or there's just not going to be any rehabbing her.
Yeah, and I watched that match last night. I saw some potential there, though. I mean, can you imagine these three girls who have, like you said, taking on this whole NWO, like, you know, they're, like, going around, like, basically, like, vandalizing, bullying people, writing stuff on people. I mean, I was hoping, like, they would, like, keep this on after where, like, they chose Bayley as their, like, chosen little target after where they, like, embarrass her every week. Hence, we get, like, a tough-ass Bayley coming out of this, the same way she should have done back then when she was getting bullied by Alexa Bliss. I mean, it's, like, the same thing, except, like, on, like, a whole nother level. And so, like, Alexa Bliss was, like, verbally bullying her. These girls are actually, like, embarrassing her, writing stuff on her. Maybe, like, next time they call for a ponytail. I mean, like, they push her to the point after where she says, enough's enough, I'm going to kick somebody's ass. So,
almost like the old Carrie thing, you know, if you've seen Stephen King's Carrie, where you know, make fun of her so much, and all of a sudden, you know, she's throwing shit at you with her eyes. Yeah, I get that point, but here's what I think is going to happen, Sabretooth. I was going to save this till Sunday, but I'll tease it a little bit now. Right after they did what they did, the very first thing we see is Ronda Rousey, and I say to myself, I know where this is going. They're going to interrupt and ruin that match on Sunday with her and Nia Jax. So if Nia Jax comes out here and plays nice, we know what's going to happen. If Nia Jax comes out and she's a bitch, then no, that won't happen. And guess what happens? Nia Jax comes out and plays nice, saying, I pushed your buttons. That's what you do. You know, I know she's tough. I know she's whatever. The only thing I liked about this segment is Nia Jax came up with a few good points. She said, look, I understand you have all the achievements in the world in the UFC, but that's not WWE. You've only been in here for a short period of time, and if you really want me to be honest, you're not ready. And I know you're not ready, and you probably know you're not ready. And then Ronda Rousey gets up and says, that's what I was always told, that I wasn't ready. I'm ready for anything I want to do. It becomes confrontational. She tries to put her in the arm bar. Nia Jax headbutts her, but then when she goes to pick her up, she gets put in the arm bar anyway, and why she taps out, I don't know, because there's no match, but she taps out. And we are left with the impression that, yes, Ronda Rousey can indeed tap out Nia Jax, which screams to me, Mike, she's not going to do it Sunday.
Yeah, she's not going to do it. Yeah, that screams to me that. But also, back on Bayley, if you watch that match, they're undermining Bayley, but in that particular match, Bayley basically dominated that match almost from start to finish. It was just that one move on the apron that when she put her on the apron that turned that match around and allowed her to put the right kick or whatever they're calling it on her.
Right.
You know, to beat her, but Bayley looked good in that match. Bayley looked excellent
in
that match.
She did, but Mike, I just see this as being they're going to do something with Ronda Rousey and Nia Jax, and the two slash enemies are going to say, we're going to have to team up against the Riot Squad, and maybe they're going to haul Bayley with them or whatever, but I see that coming.
Yeah, I see that coming too, and we got to see what happens. I mean, they're trying so hard to not make her make Ronda Rousey look as green as she is. I mean, we know how green Ronda Rousey is. She's
right,
green
and
as
that's
red.
Exactly my point, Mike. She is so green that this match isn't going to last long. And I think it's not going to last long, Sabretooth, because the Riot Squad's going to interfere. And then these two, like, frenemies are going to say, well, the Riot Squad ruined our match, and so we will reluctantly team up to fight them. And Bayley will say, well, if you need a third, it's me. And then we've got ourselves a way to get Ronda Rousey in a match where she doesn't have to be alone, Sabretooth.
That would be, yeah, I'd rather them go that route than have her winning the title, man. I mean, I don't want her winning this. I mean, because I'm cheering for Nia Jax. If they go on with the whole someone's going to win this match, I'm going for Nia Jax. Like you said, she's making up some pretty good points. You just had one match against a businesswoman who isn't a full timer but a businesswoman. I mean, she's making some pretty good points, man. And my God, man, and can she, like you said, man, and she just doesn't have it, man. She's still coming out. I mean, when is she going to get serious when she comes down to that damn ring? She's still smiling with this grin on his face, slapping. I mean, is she going to do this shit Sunday? Fighting for a title? What the hell?
Yes, she will. I believe that you could have the whole Riot Squad come down there and beat her up, and then when she gets up, after the camera is focuses on her mad face for a minute, then she'll be like, okay, I'm out, and let me shake hands with everybody on the way out. I don't know. Somebody's got to have to tell her stop. And I guess they don't want to tell her because she's Ronda Rousey, but somebody better tell her. And she has one move down, and that is her, logical MMA rolling into the armbar move. But I don't see her having anything else. She sold the headbutt okay. But I bet you this match is going to be real quick, Sabretooth. I bet you it's like a minute or two match.
Right, and also with the whole arm lock thing. I mean, like, now I could have easily like picked her. I mean, that's what escapes logic. Okay, I mean, like, she picked up a girl 2 weeks ago who tried the same thing. She picked her up and slammed her. And Ronda Rousey probably doesn't weigh any more than she does, but she couldn't pick her up and do it the same way.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, logic goes out the window when the WWE comes into it, Todd. I thought that Ronda Rousey, well, mostly Nia Jax, made some really good points, but I don't see this match leading to Ronda Rousey being the champion. I just don't.
You're absolutely right there. You know, like you said, we've been saying this for a long time. Ronda Rousey will never be ready to compete. She's never going to be ready.
I don't think she will. I don't think she's going to get it. Now, she's such a good athlete that she could prove me wrong. I mean, maybe 3 months, 4 months from now, busted ass, she's ready. But it's not that she's not ready athletically. See, that's the problem. She is ready athletically. Whatever these girls can do, she can do. Physically. Can she climb the buckle? Yes. Can she do this move? Yes. Can you teach her how to do this move? Yes. You can teach her how to do any move. She's every bit as strong and agile and stamina-wise as any girl in that federation. But she doesn't get the psychology. She doesn't get it. She doesn't get the whole mannerisms of how you sell a match and what your reaction should be to certain. She just doesn't get that. And that's something you really kind of can't teach. You either get that or you don't get it. You know? I compare it to guitar players. You know, you can watch a guy play a guitar, sit on a stool and play a guitar. And you're like, wow, man, that guy can shred that guitar. And you're very impressed. And you say, he's sensational. He's not that much fun to watch, but he can play. Or you can watch like Angus Young go all over the stage upside down and backwards. And he can play pretty well, too. And you're like, wow, that's awesome. because he gets it, that part of it's entertainment. It's not just about the talent. It's about entertaining while you're showing the talent. And she don't do that very well. And she came off like, almost like a bad guy with a, I can do anything I want. I'm Ronda Rousey. Oh, God. No respect for the champion at all. I mean, it would have been better if she was like a little more humble and said, look, everything you said is right. And that's why I told you, Nia, there are girls way more deserving than me. That's why I told you that. And what did you say to me? You said, but I picked you. And I know why you picked me. Not because you like me. Not because you think you're fighting the very, very best. Because you think you're going to beat Ronda Rousey and make your name off of her. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to let that happen. That would have been great. That's all you have to do. You don't have to do all the other theatrics and I'm a tough girl. And I'm going to throw my leather jacket over my shoulder and strut away. It's like junior high school acting class, and it's really bad. It's bad. And I don't know if it's going to get any better. Anyway, because the audience is already whatever, No Way Jose and Kurt Hawkins get into it backstage a little bit. And Kurt Hawkins says, I'm not going to let you be my 201st loss. And he decides he's going to join the conga line and attack No Way Jose from behind. Doesn't work. 2 seconds, he's wrapped up for 1, 2, 3. I'm not sure why this match existed. They're doing nothing with No Way Jose, and they're not really doing anything with Kurt Hawkins. There's no real need to talk about the match. There wasn't really a match. It was just a segment to, get to the next commercial break. So we get to the main event. And this was a good match, but here's my problem with this match. The WWE has got to decide what they want to book Braun Strowman to be. I'm perfectly fine with he's an indestructible monster who nobody can touch. Fine. I'm also perfectly fine with we went that route for a while. We got to bring him down the ladder a little bit. He's got to be a little bit beatable. He's got to sell more. He's got to, you know, we got to make his matches more competitive against our top guys. I'm fine with that. But you can't do both. And here's why you can't do both. Because if he needed Kevin Owens' help to barely avoid being pinned by Finn Balor, how come he can beat all three of them with no problem? How come he's throwing all three of them around? But he couldn't do that to just one. That's illogical, and that's illogical booking, and that's when we can't buy it anymore. It's fine if he destroyed Finn Balor and then he's destroying all three. It's fine if you want him to destroy 33 people, if that's how far you want to go. But it's not fine to say, I squeaked by with interference from Kevin Owens to even stay alive in the Finn Balor match, but Finn Balor, Bobby Roode, and Kevin Owens all teaming up together at the same time have no shot. Because then it becomes totally illogical. So you got to pick what you want to do with Braun Strowman. He's either an indestructible monster, which is fine. But here's what you got to do with your indestructible monsters. They're never the champion. Andre the Giant, you know, or The Undertaker was champion sometimes, but, you know, he never liked having the belt. It was better he didn't. 9-1-1 in ECW, you got to have those guys that you say, these are the special guys. They almost never lose. And because they almost never lose, and everybody's got to oversell to them, we're not going to make them the champion. We're just going to make them that guy that on that rare occasion, when they come out, you're like, well, I'm dead. It doesn't matter who you are, I'm done. And everybody says, wow, that guy's even better than the champion, but he never quite gets there. Or you got to assimilate him into the pack and say, he's good, but he's beatable. Given the right circumstances, he's beatable. But you can't do one week and one the next week, Sabretooth, because it's mixed signals.
Right. And also things with guys like that is that they don't need to have that title to be a badass. I mean, you've got some guys who can book as like that they're so badass that they don't feel that they're beyond the damn belt. They don't need it. You need that belt, but I don't need that belt to justify me. You know, But also about this match, though, there were some spots in this match that should have been saved for the damn pay-per-view. Kevin Owens putting Braun Strowman on the table, put him to the table. That should have been a pay-per-view moment. Save that for Sunday, but they did that shit last. I'm like, what are they doing?
Man,
they never done that to Braun Strowman, and y'all going to do it on the going home show? Nuh-uh, you saved that for the pay-per-view.
I agree. Look, Kevin Owens went above and beyond last night. But again, let me just reiterate that it's illogical because did I not see Kevin Owens afraid to jump off the ladder in a ring against Finn Balor a week ago? And he climbed down one rung and then said, oh, I won't even do it from this distance. And that allowed Finn Balor to get up and throw him off the ladder. So they implied that he had some kind of a fear of heights or fear of climbing the ladder or jumping off of it. Didn't show that last night, Mike.
Well, didn't show that last night. And another thing that happened, I don't know what it is with Kevin Owens, but that guy, when Strowman hits him with anything, it's like he cuts a flip or whatever. I mean, he really sells Strowman, and he does a good job at it. And that's what you want with Strowman. You want when somebody hits you with that shoulder block, you want, and that guy's 385 pounds, you want that guy to come close to cutting a flip or going head over heels or whatever. Or when he hits you with a drop kick, you want that guy, other guy to, even if he's 260 pounds like Kevin Owens is, you know, you want that guy to go flying 10 feet backwards, you know?
No, I agree with you, and Kevin Owens has come a long way from that, because if you remember, when he first came in, he undersold everyone. He'd get hit with a finishing maneuver and then just roll outside the ring and land on his feet like, eh. He totally undersold everything. He's getting it now. This is more Kevin Owens' character. Kevin Owens being that, I'm not afraid of anyone, I'm a prize fighter, I'm a badass, I'm just going to get in there and whoop everybody's ass thing, did not work anywhere near as good as this sort of devious, cunning, I can be cowardly, but I can also be determined Kevin Owens. He's got his character down real good now. And I'm enjoying Kevin Owens a lot more than I used to. His promos are better. His selling is better. His wrestling is better. He's cranking on all cylinders pretty much now. And I think he's going to be the next feud for Braun Strowman. I think that's a solo feud coming. And I think that's why they're working them together so much, to see how they work out, and they work out pretty good. But, yeah, I mean, Todd, was he afraid of the ladder 2 weeks ago? He's not afraid of it this week?
I guess that somebody put a bug in his ear, not the – I don't know, you got to climb the ladder. I think somebody.
Yeah, but I mean, that was their thing. They wrote that. They wrote that for Kevin Owens. He's done it before, but they wrote that he's supposed, oh, I can't jump on Finn Balor, but he didn't have any problem with Braun Strowman.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's just weird. I don't know. What was that all about, Sabretooth?
I guess they think like desperate times call for desperate measures. I guess. I mean, since we're trying to, since all like, you know, we gotta take out Braun Strowman. So I mean, we gotta take Braun out. So heights be damned. I guess, you know. But even then, that should have been saved for the pay per view. That's just like, man.
I agree. You know, that was a moment. Maybe they'll try to top it. I don't know. But that was a moment that probably should have been saved for the pay per view, because the first thing I thought of when he was climbing, he's not going to jump. It's not going to happen. He's going to get put through the table somehow. Strowman's going to roll off. And when he didn't, I said, well, damn. You know, that was a moment you probably should have just saved, but it would have been a good way to take Braun outside the ring and not have him win, if that's what the plan is. And start their feud, by the way, with Braun Strowman saying, that's the first guy that actually hurt me enough that I didn't get back in the ring and I lost the match, and it's Kevin Owens' fault, and, you know, that kind of thing. Overall, though, that was a good match. Everybody hit a good spot. And here's a thought. Bobby Roode and Finn Balor actually work really well together. So maybe they should have a feud of their own. I would love to see Bobby Roode turn on Finn Balor and have a Roode-Balor feud, because I think they match up well. So overall, we got a mixed bag with Raw. I mean, if you look at just the matches themselves, it's a go-home show, and you're getting McIntyre and Ziggler versus Breezango. You're getting the B-team Heath Slater and Rhino. You're getting No Way Jose, Kurt Hawkins. You're getting Reigns versus Sameel Singh. There were a lot of filler. But those two four-way matches, you know, were obviously, you know, all the big names were in it. Both of them were good matches. There were some high spots backstage, and there were some real low lights. So this was a mixed bag, in my opinion. I mean, I can't give it a hugely high grade because they blew a lot of stuff, in my opinion. And I can't give it a terribly low grade because it was enjoyable on a certain level, especially a few of the matches. So I think my grade this week is going to be right in the middle. I'm going to give it a, C, just a flat C. I would give it a C plus, but it is a go home show and it probably should have had a better build than it did. So I'll give it a flat out C, Mike. What do you think?
I'm going to give it a C minus because again, it's a go home show. If it wasn't a go home show, it probably be a little bit higher. Maybe a C plus, maybe. But since it's a go-home show, C minus.
Yeah, I was close to that because the whole show, I couldn't get out of my head that image of them all standing on ladders, different heights, like they were posing for a picture. And I was just saying to myself, God, those guys had to come out here and like, you get on the third rung, you get on the top, you get on this way, you point that way, and it's like, wow, you really made this look cheesy and horrible. And I didn't get that out of my mind the whole night. I just thought that was so cheesy and horrible. But still in all, what's your grade, Sabretooth?
I'm going to give it a C-. Their opening segment, yeah, cringeworthy. But they missed a great opportunity with their Curtis Hawkins and No Way Jose. They could have started up a great-ass storyline as to where he was dressed up. I mean, the dude was dressed up. I mean, like, the dude was dressed up as a Congo dancer. I mean, have him attack No Way Jose on the way to that ring, then beat the hell out of those Congo dancers, and you got a great feud going. These guys are the same five. They match up. Ain't like a big Baron Corbin going up against them. These guys match up well. They're the same five. I mean, they could have started something great last night with that. I'm like, oh, man, they dropped the ball.
Yeah, I mean, you could have started a thing where he could have said, I'm not losing 201. I'm not losing 201. And he doesn't fight anybody till No Way Jose. And, you know, the sneak attack and everything build up. Yeah, you could have had something really good there. Todd, what's your grade?
I got to go with you. A C, a flat out C.
So Raw wasn't horrible this week. The women's match to open it was great despite a horrible, terrible opening segment. And Baron Corbin shaving his head. And he is one sweater vest away from being the class nerd instead of the lone wolf biker, but whatever. There was missed opportunities. I agree with Sabretooth about the No Way Jose thing. There was odd things like the Elias guitar thing, which we kind of pitched, but they took it and ran with it the wrong way. And then there was just the absolute, you know, head-scratching moments like watching Roman Reigns could be less interested in fighting Sameel Singh or Jinder Mahal, for that matter. And that could be the self-destruction of Roman Reigns, because I got a news for you folks. If he becomes disinterested and they see that, the WWE sees that, he's done. He's absolutely done. And the Ronda Rousey segment, which had good moments with Nia Jax putting some good stuff up and some bad moments, as in what the hell is Ronda Rousey doing, you know? One move. She's one move Ronda. So, look, did it make me want to watch the pay-per-view any worse than I did? I will say it made me want to watch Elias versus Seth Rollins more than I did, only because I do have this feeling, Sabretooth, that Elias might be getting that belt.
Yeah, I think they are, man. Cause like you, I mean, yeah, because like Seth short, I mean, like a Seth kind of did like get that one up on him with that whole, you know, he smashed the guy's guitar, you know. I mean, so, yeah, so I think, I mean, yeah, so I'm thinking the same thing as to where he's going to pull this out on Sunday.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we'll be back on Sunday to talk about it, Mike, but I get that feeling.
I get that feeling, too. And look, we've said this, I've said this earlier on in the show. I want to see what, if SmackDown tonight is going to be a better, you know, go-home show.
I think it will be. I really do. I think it will be. I promise you, they're not going to have these guys out on ladders in the beginning. I promise you, AJ Styles and Nakamura and Rusev aren't going to be posing out there on ladders. If they are, I'm turning the damn thing off. I don't know if we'll have a show on Friday because I'll turn the damn thing off. I do not want to see that. You know, you shouldn't have Nakamura and AJ Styles anywhere near each other without having a fist fight at this point. So I don't want to see that, that's for sure, Mike. But I do think they'll further the Nakamura-AJ storyline, which is good. I want to see what they do with the women. I think that's especially going to be interesting, Mike, because they need to build that up a little bit with the women's part of the ladder of the Money in the Bank match.
You know, and I still want to see if they have the guts to pull the trigger on Rusev and Lana both getting those cases, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, there's a part of me that says Rusev is a good possibility. But I don't know about Lana. I just don't think they have that kind of plans for her right now. What I'd like to see on SmackDown tonight, though, is furthering the women's ladder match, Money in the Bank ladder match storyline a little bit more. I would like to see something happen between Asuka and Carmella that makes me say, maybe Carmella will win, because right now it just looks like a lamb to the slaughter. And I want to see something that's going to make me really, really want to see AJ Styles and Nakamura even worse than I do now. So that's the key points for this week's SmackDown, I think, Sabretooth.
I agree, especially about AJ and Nakamura. I mean, like I said last week, I'm looking forward to see what Nakamura does tonight. I mean, last week was pretty. I mean, like the last week with their contract signing was brilliant. So, I'm looking forward to what. Yeah, I mean, like I said tonight, I'm looking forward to see what he comes up with tonight. I mean, and yeah, as far as like the women's title goes, yeah, I'm not really caring about it, man, because they haven't booked Carmella to be a threat to Asuka. I mean, they just haven't. I mean, give her a faction or something. Make Asuka work for it, it seems. I mean, make her go in there saying, oh, shit, Asuka's going to have a tough time, but we're not getting that, though. We're getting, she's going to come in here and tear Carmella apart. And it's like the champion, Carmella, she's not even taking the match seriously. I mean, she's still moonwalking and on tables, on the announce table. She's not taking this match seriously, and it shouldn't be like that.
Yeah, see, I agree with that. I just think it should be just the opposite, maybe. We should be seeing Carmella saying, my advantage over Asuka, she's not taking me seriously. Ask Charlotte Flair, I should be taken serious. But they're not doing any of that. They're just kind of making, and, you know, it's hard with Asuka because all Asuka can do is make that one face. She's like the Japanese Ronda Rousey. She has one face or two. She has the happy I won face and that weird grin face, whereas Ronda Rousey has the, you know, oh boy, I have fans face and oh, you pissed me off face. That's it. That's what they got. And that's why that division, you know, is weakening. You put people at the top of it, or you're about to. Ronda Rousey, Asuka. Asuka's a far better wrestler than Ronda Rousey. Don't get me wrong. But she can't sell her matches. Ronda Rousey is green, and she can't sell her matches. And yet, these are the girls who are going to be, you know, your two top girls, presumably. And I think there's going to be some girls sitting in that dressing room saying, well, what the hell? Now, somebody had written me before we go. I just want to mention this because I don't know if I ever did. Somebody had written me and said Alicia Fox was hurt, and then supposedly she was cleared to wrestle, and she still hasn't wrestled, and there was some kind of an incident. Yeah, apparently Alicia Fox got into a literally screaming argument match that almost turned physical on her part with Ronda Rousey's husband. I have no idea what it was about. No idea, and nobody's saying. But apparently she flipped out on Ronda Rousey's husband. And I don't know whether that's keeping her off TV. I don't know whether that's put her in the doghouse. I don't know if she's on her way out the door. But that's what I heard, Mike. Have you heard anything about that?
I haven't heard anything about that. I didn't even know there was that altercation. So and look, she was doing some pretty good work there, and really she should have been in an insider match, but she's not for some reason, you know.
Yeah, she was doing some really good work, I thought. I thought she was fast, Sabretooth, becoming one of my favorites. But apparently, I don't know if this stemmed from some incident of Ronda Rousey supposedly, I don't know what it was from, some kind of domestic violence thing once or so. I don't know what the hell it was from. But Alicia Fox flipped out on Ronda Rousey's husband, and she has not been seen since.
Oh no! Yeah, I mean, I thought she was injured or something. I know, like, we haven't, I know, I haven't seen her on TV or anything like in a while. I mean, I know. I mean, when did this happen? I mean, is it recently or a while back?
No, this was like prior to WrestleMania. And now Alicia Fox was hurt. Alicia Fox was hurt, so I took this with a grain of salt because I'm saying, oh, you wouldn't see her anyway because she's hurt. So whether she flipped out on Ronda Rousey's husband or not is irrelevant. She's not wrestling because she's hurt. I'm hearing she's been cleared to wrestle for a while, and you're still not seeing her.
Well, maybe like you said. Maybe from like you said. I mean, like some of the girls are getting, you know, they're getting missed about all this attention. You know, she's getting pushed to the top, or whatever. Maybe she shows some kind of way about it. You know.
It's going to be very interesting to see how things pan out. The WWE's got this pay-per-view to really right the ship. Things set in the right direction. Because whoever holds these Money in the Bank briefcases, unless they cash in the same night, we're going to be seeing a lot of, and we're going to have to anticipate them potentially being the champion. And it's going to hold up their career. Whoever has it, that's what their career is going to be until they cash it in, is I'm Mr. or Miss Money in the Bank. So they have to choose wisely. And they have to make sure it's not going to handcuff somebody's career, or that it's going to be to the detriment of somebody's career who could have done better not winning it. We'll be back on Friday with a SmackDown report. Enjoy SmackDown tonight. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.